Susan Ron's doctors first discovered her cancer in her back a few years ago, but it started in her breast, and she's now at stage 4, a terminal diagnosis. Ron changes her medication every 3 months to fight the pain.
The pain is going to, at some point, going to get substantially worse as the cancer progresses, because it's eventually going to get into a vital organ, my lungs or my liver or my brain.
Ron says right now she's doing okay, but thinks it's only a matter of time. She lives in Rochester and has met people online with similar diagnoses. She's seen them die in agony. Ron wants to choose how she goes for her and her son.
I have a responsibility in protecting my child. And I am not going to have him watch that process. It's not going to happen. I'm not doing that to him. I'm not going to erase those memories.
A painful or drug-clouded death, she says, would erase the good memories they've made since she got her diagnosis. But what one person sees as an option, another person sees as a dangerous opening.
Can I sit? Use this chair?
Yeah, whatever.
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable.
Emily Papperman works at Ithaca's Finger Lakes Independence Center, or FLIC. FLIC works to make the world more inclusive for people with disabilities and help them live more independently. Papperman herself has spastic cerebral palsy.
My muscles can tighten up without warning, you know, when I'm, you know, scared or surprised or when it's cold out. Yay, upstate New York winters.
Papperman and her colleagues are worried doctors or family members will influence vulnerable people, intentionally or unintentionally, to choose the life-ending drugs. The legalization proposal in New York limits the drugs. Only people with terminal illnesses can get a prescription, and they must self-administer the dose. But Papperman says people with disabilities have fought hard for their autonomy. She doesn't trust the safeguards in the law will protect them.
There are too many things that could still be misconstrued or misinterpreted.
Another opponent is the Catholic Church. In an email, Lisa Hall at the Archdiocese of Syracuse said, "To the Catholic way of thinking, every suicide is tragic." And she echoed Emily Papperman's concerns about coercion. In Oregon, aid in dying has been legal for almost 20 years, and coercion hasn't come up. Peg Sandine is an aid in dying proponent with the group Death with Dignity.
That has not been the experience in Oregon, and we have years and years of data and study after study published in peer-reviewed journals that demonstrate that those type of things don't happen.
Both sides will make their case to New York lawmakers in Albany this session. Last year, a bill to legalize aid in dying passed an assembly committee. Corinne Carey runs the New York campaign for the group Compassion and Choices. Its goal this year is to get a vote from the full assembly.
Do I think that we will move to the Senate this year? You know, it's New York. Anything could happen. But I know the work in front of us, and I think that this is a multi-year campaign.
Any legislative effort in New York has to go through the Assembly Speaker, Senate Leader, and the Governor. Susan Ron's target is Governor Cuomo. He hasn't taken a public position. Ron says if she can tell him her story, maybe she can convince him the terminally ill need this choice.
I didn't have a choice in having this disease. I wasn't given the option, but I do have a say and I do have an option on how I leave this earth.
To get that option, Ron says, she's willing to move away from her New York home. In Binghamton, I'm Brett Jaspers for WBFO News.